So we're holding on paid dollar to Omid Bey's six lines from the bottom. So we were talking about the matter of breaking a bone in the Korban Pesach, which we know the Torah tells us you're not allowed to. V'etzem lo yisish b'ruvoy. We discussed yesterday Machloikas Rebbe and the Chachamim about the parameters about when a person is chayev and when is not, and we had eight different understandings of Amiroyim, of what exactly is the case where Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing about, where one of them would say a person is chayev and the other one was potter. The last one we had was Ravina saying that if the limb, if the bone that is being broken doesn't have a kazayas of meat on it in the place where it's being broken, but it has a kazayas of meat someplace else on the bone, that's where the Chachamim would say the person is chayev, because after all, the Chachamim go according to whether the korban is kosher or pasul, and it is kosher. Rebbe would say that you need a kazayas not only on the bone in general, but you need a kazayas on the bone in the place where it's being broken in order to be chayev. So now a discussion about that. Itmar, Eva she'enol of kazayas bosa b'makom zeh. If you have a limb where there's no kazayas of meat on it in one place, in this particular place where it's being broken, v'yeshol of kazayas bosa b'makom acher. But there is a kazayas of meat someplace else on the bone. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Yeshbe b'shem shviras etzem. Rabbi Yochanan says the issur of shviras etzem does apply. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer Ein Rabbi Shem shviras etzem, and Rish Lakish would say that not. Tosfos points out that this machlokas has to be according to Rebbe, because according to the Chacham, because the way that we were explaining before, according to the Chachamim, it wouldn't matter. We said Ravina's explanation is that Rebbe and the Chachamim would argue where there's no kazayas of meat on it, where in the place where it's being broken, and there is someplace else where the Chachamim, according to Ravina, would say that he's chayev, and only Rebbe would say he's potter. So now this machlokas would be within Rebbe's explanation. Esvei Rabbi Yechanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So Rabbi Yechanan says to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, "What do you mean? What do you mean that if there's no kazayas on it in that place, then he's potter?" The brisa we quoted before says, "Ve'etzem lo yisish b'ruvoy, don't break a bone in it." Means echad etzem sheyeshal of kazayas baser, ve'echad etzem she'enol of kazayas baser. Whether the bone has a kazayas of meat on it or not, either way he's chayev. Now my enol of kazayas baser. What do we mean that there wouldn't be a kazayas of meat? What do you mean that there's no kazayas of meat on it? How would he be chayev? Ilema de enol of kazayas baser klal. If there's actually no kazayas of meat anywhere on that bone, amai yeshbem shem shviras etzem. Why would the issur of shviras etzem apply? We established before that to be chayev for shviras etzem, since there's a hekesh between breaking it and eating from it, so we learn that only when eating applies, and eating in halacha is defined as a kazayas, only then is there an issur of breaking. So if there's no kazayas of meat on the bone at all, then there's nothing to be chayev for. Ela lav hachi karmar. Evidently, therefore, what must the Braisa be saying? It must be saying, echad etzem sheyeshal of kazayas basa b'mokim zeh. The Braisa must be implying that whether there's a kazayas of meat in this particular place on the bone, the echad she'enal of kazayas basa b'mokim zeh, or whether there's not, there's only a kazayas of meat someplace else, there's not in this place, but there is a kazayas of meat someplace else on the bone. The yeshal of kazayas basa b'mokim acher. So echad sheyeshal of kazayas basa b'mokim zeh, whether there's a kazayas to meet at this point where it's being broken. Or whether there's no kazayas of meat on it here, but there is a kazayas of meat someplace else on it. Kasha l'Rav Shimon Lakish. So it's a kasha on Rav Shimon Lakish. Now, actually, this is in parenthesis, because actually, it doesn't necessarily belong. That would be if the Gemara was asking a question on Rish Lakish. Here it's Rabbi Yechanan directly addressing Rish Lakish and telling him that this braisa doesn't seem to fit with what you're saying. Now, Tosfos points out the Chachamim said before, according to Ravina anyway, that a person is chayev for breaking the bone regardless, as long as there is a kazayas of meat on it, whether it's here or there. According to Ravina, only Rebbe was making that distinction. So Rish Lakish could easily answer that the braisa goes according to the Chachamim. However, Tosfos says since both Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish hold like Rebbe, they would rather make the braisa work according to Rebbe rather than have to resort to saying that it's according to the Chachamim. Mao Shaw talks about this a little bit, about why we would have to say that. Maloy Aroyim points out that since further on in the Braisa, we have to learn from a we have to learn from an extra pasuk saying that you can't break a bone if there's not a kazayas. That implies it can't be according to the chachamim, because according to the chachamim, you don't need an extra pasuk. We said yesterday, according to them, the korban is kosher. Therefore, there's no reason the issur of breaking a bone wouldn't apply. Only according to Rebbe, where we say that he distinguishes between whether you can eat it or not, and eating is a kazayas. So according to Rebbe, you would need to have an extra pasuk to teach us that in some cases you can be chayev even when there's no kezias of meat in this particular place, and therefore that's reason to say that this braisa that we're quoting has to be according to Rebbe, and therefore that would answer Tosfos' question why Rish Lakish doesn't just say, well, this braisa is according to the Chachamim. All right. Anyway, Amar Leih, so Rish Lakish answers Rabbi Yochanan Leih. No, that's not what the braisa means. When you're assuming that the only alternative is yeshal of kazayis baso, there's a kazayis of meat on the outside of it, or there's not a kazayis in this place, but there is someplace else, or that there's no kazayis of meat on it at all, but you're leaving out a possibility. Hachikamar, the braisa means like this. Echad etzem sheyeshal of kazayis basam v'chutz, whether the bone has a kazayis of meat on the outside of it, the echad etzem she'en of kazayis basam v'chutz, v'yeshal of kazayis basam v'fnim b'mokam shvira, or whether the bone has no kazayis of meat on the outside, but there still is a kazayis of meat on the inside, namely marrow, in the place where you're breaking it. So that's when the braisa is saying that he'd be chayav. So Rish Lakish, in other words, is saying, if the bone has no kezias of meat on the outside where it's being broken, and no kezias of marrow on the inside, let's say it's a small bone, and there's not a kezias of marrow in it in the first place, or that particular place where you're breaking it doesn't have a kezias of marrow or whatever, then he'd be potter. But if it had, but when the braisa says it doesn't have a kezias, it means it doesn't necessarily have on the outside, but it has a kezias on the inside. And Rish Lakish continues, Vaha Tanya, and in fact, I can show you a braisa that makes that distinction, that says that if it has marrow inside, you're not allowed to break it, because the braisa says, when it says, Ve'etzem loisish beruvoi, don't break a bone in the Korban Pesach, means Echad etzem sheyesh b'moyach, ve'echad etzem she'en b'moyach, it means whether the bone has marrow in it or not. So how would we fulfill the mitzvah that says that you should eat the meat on this night, which l'chura implies all the meat, including the marrow? That means v'basa shalgabe etzim. No, you're mekayim that mitzvah by eating the bone by eating the meat that's on the bone. But continues the braisa, maybe it means that you have to also eat the meat that's inside the bone. Umani makayim be'etzem loisish beruvoi be'etzem she'en b'moyach. Maybe you would say, okay, what do we do with the pasuk be'etzem loisish beruvoi? It means maybe only a bone that doesn't contain marrow. So there's no purpose in breaking it anyway because there's no marrow to get out. Or maybe at least there's less than a kazayas of marrow, whatever. The point is that let's say there's no marrow in it at all. That's when you would be also to break it. But maybe we would argue that when it comes to a bone that has marrow in it, maybe you are required to break it and eat it in order to be fully mekayim the mitzvah of v'ochlos abaser. And continues the braisa of al tisma. Don't be so surprised at that. After all, we have in general that an esse overrides a loisese. So here you have an esse to eat meat of the korban pesach. You have a loisese not to break the bone. Given that the only way of eating this meat would be to break the bone, maybe you'd be required to do that. So now, so far, in other words, the braisa is saying, just from the fact that it says ve'etzem loisish beruvoi, you can't necessarily show that means that you're not allowed to break open a bone that has marrow. Maybe you're required to. But now we come to the psukim of Pesach Sheni in Parshas Ba'aloscha, where it also says that you're not allowed to break a bone in it. She'ein tamud loima. Now it didn't have to say that. Because the Pesach says about the Pesach Sheni, they should do it according to all the rules of the Pesach. So we know automatically that all the rules that apply to Pesach Rishon apply to Pesach Sheni. So why would it have to specify this one? Hebe Omer, therefore you have to say that it means Echad Etzem Sheyesh B'Moyach, Ve'Echad Etzem She'en B'Moyach, whether the bone contains marrow, or whether it doesn't contain marrow, but it has meat on the outside, either way he's over. So you see, says Rish Lakish, that you see, so he sees, says Rish Lakish, that the that if it has marrow, if it has a kezias of marrow inside, that's already enough reason to be mechayev him, even if there's no meat on the outside. So the braisa that you brought before Rabbi Yochanan that says that you chayev whether the bone has meat or whether not, that's talking about whether it has meat on the outside. But our braisa now that I just quoted says that also if it has meat, also if it has marrow on the inside, that's reason enough to be mechayev him as well. Tosfos, by the way, mentions you have a Gemara in Zvachim that says that actually the very fact that we say that the Gemara there learns differently from than it does over here. We're not learning from the fact that you have the extra thing that it says by Pesach Sheni that you can't break it if it has marrow inside. Rather, what the Gemara does over there is it says, given that you're right, on the face of it, you have Eser Deucha Loiseser, you have an Eser to eat the meat of the Kodshim, you have a Loiseser not to break the bones. The Gemara in Zvachim learns from there that in fact, when it comes to Kodshim, we don't say Eser Deucha Loiseser. So therefore, automatically it means that you can't break a bone at all, even if there's marrow inside, without even needing to resort to the pasuk from Pesach Sheni. Tosfos asks another point, though, which is, we have a rule, when we say Eser Deucha Loiseser, that means they have to both be taking place at the same time. A classic example of Eser Deucha Loiseser, for example, is that you're allowed to wear tzitzis, that are made, where we have the garment is linen, and the tzitzis are wool, particularly because the tchelas string has to be wool, because then, at the same moment that you're being over on the lav of wearing shatnez, you're being mekayim the eser of tzitzis. But here it's one after the other, because when you're breaking the bone, you haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of eating the meat from inside, and only later are you going to be fulfilling that mitzvah. So Tosfos over here just gives an answer, Tosfos doesn't give an answer over here. Tosfos in Zvachim actually gives the answer that we can say from that when we say that Eser is not Deucha Loiseser B'Kodshim, when we say that in order for an Eser to be Deucha Loiseser, it has to be both taking place at the same time, that's only where there's some other alternative way of doing it. For example, with tzitzis, you don't have to wear this garment, wear a different garment. But where there's no other way to do it except by being over on the Loiseser, and later on you're going to do the Eser, then we would usually say Eser Deucha Loiseser. So in this case, the only way of getting at this marrow is going to be breaking the bone. Therefore, the Gemara is assuming that you would have been allowed to, again, were it not for the fact that Eser is not Deucha Loiseser B'Kodshim, as it says over there, or as it says over here, were it not for the fact that it repeats by Pesach Sheni, not to break a bone, and that means you can't break a bone, period. Tosfos also mentions the point. Also, we said yesterday that we had it in the Gemara yesterday that you could burn a hole through the bone and get the meat out that way. Now we said both Abaya and Rava had agreed you can't do that, but we said two different reasons. Rava had said the reason because you're going to end up burning some of the marrow and therefore you're destroying Kodshim B'Yadayim. So according to Rava, then that works out very well. The point is, therefore, there is Hefsid Kodshim, therefore burning a hole through the bone in order to get the marrow is definitely not an option. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction on Rish Lakish. So again, Rish Lakish is telling us that if the bone doesn't have a kezias of meat on it in the place where you're breaking it, so there's no kezias of meat on the outside or on the inside, marrow, then he's not chayev for breaking it, even if there's meat someplace else on the bone. But we learn in the next Mishnah, Amud Beis, Eva Sheyotze Miktsasoi, if a limb of the Korban Pesach went out of where it's supposed to. By the way, yesterday I was saying it means that it went out of the house when we were eating it. The truth is, not everybody agrees to that. Later on, we're going to talk about that it may mean actually it was taken out of Yerushalayim. We're going to talk later on. You're not allowed to take the meat of the Korban Pesach out of the house, or out of the group where it's being eaten in, but not necessarily is that enough to passel it. There may just be a lav in that. It would definitely become possible if it's taken out of the walls of Yerushalayim, though. Anyway, so we say that if a limb partially goes out of the house or of Yerushalayim, as the case may be, chosech ad mokim shemagiel la'etzim, what you do is you cut through the meat until you reach the bone, because now what you have is you have some of the meat on this bone is ulcer because it went out. Some of it is still mutter because it was on the inside. So you have to cut at that point, at the point where it's sticking out, cut through the meat until you reach the bone. But kolif ad magila perek. Then what you do is you peel off the rest of the meat. So you peel off the meat that's on the inside from the bone until you reach the until you reach the nearest joint. And then you cut it off at the joint. Now what you do is, the meat that was on the outside has to be burnt, like any other kodshim that became pasul. The bone that went out, the bone that part of it went out, if it contains marrow, then you have to burn it with the noser, like we learned the other day. And if not, then you can just throw it away. But the point is, the meat itself, part of it is going to be usur, part of it is going to be mutter. Now, so the question is, if you're going to tell me that, according to as Rish Lakish says, that if the limb doesn't have if the bone doesn't have a kazayis of meat on it in this particular place, even if it has meat on it someplace else, then the issue of shvidas etzim it doesn't apply. Then according to Rish Lakish, lomeli dekolif ad shemagia leperek lechosif, why do you need to peel off the bone until you reach the joint and only then cut it off at the joint? Niklif beporta, all you should have to do is peel off a little bit of meat in the area where it went out, in the area where it went beyond the threshold or whatever. And then there's no kazayas of meat on it at that point, the nitbidei, and then you should be allowed to break it at that point. Then you should be allowed to chop it off at that point. And that's that, because after all, according to Rish Lakish, if there's no kazayas of meat on it in that place, then there's no issur. So the answer is, Abaya Omer Mishum Pekka. Abaya says, like we said yesterday, the problem is that it might break someplace else, just like we said yesterday, when you're trying to use a burning coal, to burn a hole through the meat, through the bone, to get at the marrow. Abaya said the problem is that the bone might break someplace else, and then you're over on Shvira Satsim. The same thing over here. As you're trying to break the bone in the place where it's beyond the threshold, at that point the blow might cause it to break someplace else under where the meat is, and then you're going to be chayev, because the fact is you broke it where there's a kazayas of meat. So again, even you want to argue double shani miskaven, but it could be that the different mafoshim talk about, maybe Abaya says it would be mutter daraisa, but also darabanon, maybe it would even be also daraisa, because it's almost a psikresha, etc. Ravina Omar Bakulis. Ravina says we could be talking about, for example, it's a thigh bone, or actually Rashi says a front leg bone. It's got marrow in it. So therefore, so according to the Shlokish, even if you have a kazayas of marrow inside it, then there's also an isser of Shviras Etzim. So therefore, peeling off some meat from the outside is not going to help us. Because the fact is you have a kazayas of marrow on the inside. Therefore, the only alternative, is to do like it says in the next Mishnah, and peel off the meat until the joint, and then cut it off at the joint. So there's no contradiction from that Mishnah on Rish Lakish, because in fact, yeah, if it was a bone that. Well, according to Abaya, regardless, you'd never be allowed to, because even if it doesn't have a kazayas of meat on it at this place, and conceivably you could cut it at that place and that would be that, but there's a concern it might break someplace else while you're doing that. According to Ravina, you're right. If the bone had less than a kazayas of marrow in it, so it was a small bone and it had next to no marrow in it, then yes, you would in fact be able to do that. Just peel off some of the meat in the area where it went out, then cut off that part, then break off the bone at that part, and that would be that. The problem is, if there's a kazayas of marrow, then you can't do that. Then you need to resort to what the Mishnah says of peeling off the meat from the outside and then cutting it off at the joint. So now, continuing on this topic of meat of the Korban Pesach being taken out of where it was supposed to, and we're going to quote again the next Mishnah about Eva Shiyotze Mitzasei, Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah at the end of our Masechta, the last Mishnah, HaPigol V'HaNoser V'HaTomei Metamen HaSeidayim, meat of a Korban that's pigol, or that's noser, that's left over after the time, or Tomei, okay, it doesn't actually say the word Tomei in the Mishnah over there, all of those things are Metamei, a person's hands that touch them, Rabbanon. So now, why? Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So Rav Huna and Rav Chista argue what the reason is why it's metame. Chad Omer Meshum Chashde Kohuna. One of them says it's because of Kohenim who are suspect. Namely, Rashi explains that you have Kohenim who, now you have like this. The Mishnah and the Gemara tell us in Gittin that if a Kohen makes a Korban Pigul b'mezid, then he's chayev to pay the owner, because after all, he caused the owner a loss, a financial loss. But if he did it b'shogig, then we don't cancel him, because after all, as the Gemara says over there, it's hezek she'enin nikker. It's not a hezek which is physically detectable. It's after all only, it's a ruchniistic thing after all, whether the Korban is Pigul or not. The problem is that you may have Kohenim, you may have a Kohen doesn't like somebody, well, he's bringing somebody's Korban, but he doesn't like the guy, so he's going to make the Korban Pigul, because he doesn't like him, and then when the guy comes and says, what's the matter, my Korban is Potzel, the Kohen is going to tell him, I'm sorry, it was my mistake, and therefore he's going to be Potzel. So therefore the Chachamim made the Gzeira, therefore that instead the Kohen's hands are going to be Tomei, which now he has the Tircha now of going and toveling his hands. Actually, it actually says over here he has to tovel his hands. It seems maybe from other places that if a person's hands become Tomei, maybe he has to tovel his whole body. Whatever it is, the big Tircha for the Kohen. Therefore, he's not going to do it in the first place. Tosfos, in fact, points out over here, based on various Gemaras, that we see that in those times, even the Rishoyim tended to be careful in the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. So even though they might be careless in mitzvahs, you may not have like in this case, where he doesn't like another guy, and therefore he's going to pass all his korban, but if you make that because of that, he's going to be tamei, that's going to be enough of a reason to dissuade him from doing that, and that way he won't do it. Okay, there's a couple of other explanations of Chashti Kahuna. Rabbi Hananel brings over here that if people see him touching the meat and they know that the korban is pigul, they're going to think that maybe they're going to suspect him of planning to eat it. So therefore we make a tamei. That way he won't come to touch it in the first place. That way nobody is going to suspect him. Rashi talks about in the last perek where it brings this also, and the Rashbam explains, and the Rashbam deals with that explanation that Chashti Kahuna also means what might happen if he makes the Korban Pigul. He may make it instead of being a Shlomim, where Shlomim, the Kohen, only gets a little bit of meat of, he wants to shecht it, Shalei Lishmoi, as a Chatas, and that way he'll get much more meat of it. The Rashbam says that doesn't seem to work. Pigul becomes possible altogether. There's no business of it becoming a Chatas. That would be Shalei Lishmoi. That's a whole other matter. Anyway, so that's one reason. The other one between Rav Huna and Rav Chista says that the reason is because of the lazy Kohenim. You have Kohenim who are lazy and they don't bother finishing the Korban in time, so it becomes noser, and therefore the Chachamim said that there should be an Isser, there should be Tumah in it, and that way that will be an incentive for the Kohenim not to allow it to become noser, because again, they're careful about Tumah Vatara, they don't want to have the bother of going and toveling their hands or their whole body or whatever. So the Gemara says it's not actually a machloikas. Mar masnia pigul, or mar masnia noiser. The first explanation, chashtei kohuna, refers to pigul. The second explanation, atzlei kohuna, refers to noiser. Namely, exactly that. Manda masnia pigul, the one who says that this din applies to pigul, and he gives the reason why it's metamei etzedayim. He says mishum chashtei kohuna, because of these kohenim who are suspect that they are going to make the korban pigul or otherwise posel in order to make the owner lose out, or as Rabbi Hananel says that people are going to think that he's eating pigul, so therefore so it applies to that. The one that says that the Mishnah is primarily referring to Noser, he gives the reason because of lazy Kohenim who don't bother eating the whole thing in time. Okay. Now, there is a machloikus between them, though. Mar masni kezayis or mar masni kebeitza. Between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, one of them says that the amount that would be metame the person's hands, midrabanon, is a kezayis, and the other one says a kebeitza. Manda masni kezayis, he says, ki isurai, because you go according to the amount, that's osur. In general, again, eating in Torah usually means a kezayis. Since the Torah says you're not allowed to eat noiser, and you're not allowed to eat pigul, then that means that it's kezayis. Therefore, he says, the Chachamim made this rule of tumas yadayim once you have a kezayis of it. Manda masni kebeitza, the one who says that the amount is a kebeitza, he says, ketumasoi, because you go according to the amount of tumas oichlim. For food to transmit tumah to other food, you need a kebeitza. We've learned before earlier in the Masechta, it's machlokas Rishonim, whether it's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos among others, whether to become tumah itself, you need even less than a kebeitza would become tumah, or is it that to become tumah also you need a kebeitza? Whatever it is, the point is that to make other food tumah, you definitely need a kebeitza. So therefore, this opinion says that only They therefore only then would the Chachamim make this rule of Tumas Yadayim. So now with all of that introduction, Iboilahu, so now we have a question. Yotze, what about when the meat of the Korban Pesach is taken out of Yerushalayim or taken out of where it was supposed to be? And we said it becomes possible. Gozer Abonim Tuma Eloi. Were the Chachamim also gozer that it's Matame your hands or not? Mi aminin, do we say noiser de gozer tuma de osili yatsuli be? You can say by noiser the Chachamim made this gzera because again the Kohenim get lazy and they don't bother eating it in time. Avo yotze, but when it comes to actually taking it out, apuki biadaim le matkile. The Adayim, we're not suspecting that they're actually going to take it out with their own hands. They might get lazy and not eat it in time, but they're not going to actually take it out of Yerushalayim or out of the house where it was supposed to be and actually make it possible, Adayim. Therefore, maybe they gozer beit rabbanan truma. Maybe therefore the Chachamim didn't find it necessary to be gozer truma on it. Or maybe there's no difference. So the Gemara says, Toshma, again, let's bring a proof from the Mishnah on Amud Beis. Eva Shiyotza Mitzasa, if you have a limb of the animal, of the korban, where some of it went out of Yerushalayim. Chosech Ad Shemagila Etzem, so we said you have to cut through the meat until you reach the bone. V'koylef Ad Shemagila Perek, then you peel off the meat on the inside, the meat on the part of the bone that remained inside your shalim. You peel off that meat until the joint, v'choysech, and then you cut it off at the joint. And again, we said the meat that's on the outside becomes possible. The meat on the part of the bone that stuck out of the city of your shalim becomes possible. The meat that stayed inside your shalim is still kosher. Now, the I'amad gozer beit rabbanan tuma. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Chachamim made the meat that goes out tuma, just like they said with pigul and with noiser, well then, ki chosich lei mayhavi. How would it help to cut off the meat? Hokam matame lei. Wouldn't it be matame? If you have meat that went out, you have meat that went beyond the border and became posel, it's touching meat that was on the inside and remained kosher, but one of them is touching the other. So therefore, it would be matame anyway. So the fact that we say that, the fact that we can say you cut off the meat at that point shows, therefore, that the meat on the inside of your shalayim stays tahor, and that can only be because the meat on the outside is also tahor, otherwise it would be metameh. The answer is, the Gemara says, no. Come on, tumas starting. This is a tumma in a hidden area. The place where it's touching, where one molecule of meat, which is possible, touches the next one, which is kosher. You can't see that part because it's still where the meat is attached together. The tumas sodom lematamia. So when you have things that are touching in a place where it's hidden, where you have, in other words, you have one object, part of which is tome and part of which is tahar, and the joint between them is not visible, then it's not a problem. It's not matame. So therefore, yes, you could say that once you separate off the meat that was outside your shalayim, then it's posel, and we could say maybe it's matame your hands as well, medrabanon. But we could still say as long as it's still attached, then it's only a tumas beis hastarim. Therefore, as long as it's attached, it's not matame the meat that's inside your shalayim that you're touching, that it's touching. Okay, the question is, Ula Ravina, what about, according to Ravina's understanding, he says that when food is attached to food, we don't consider it to be attached, halacha. He considers as if the food was broken up in the first place. So, Haman de Mifrisi dummy. He considers as though the food was broken up to begin with. Therefore, it's not considered Tumas Beis Hastarim. So according to Ravina, how are you going to understand the situation? According to Ravina, at least, in other words, you should be able to demonstrate that the meat that was outside your shalayim is not tame, because otherwise, again, it's going to be matame, the meat inside your shalayim that it touches. So my ikalamema, what are you going to say? Hokanaga ba'adadi. After all, one is touching the other. Become matame, so it is matame. So do we have an answer to that? So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. El Lamanda Masti Kazayas to Lesbe Kazayas. We just said that Rav Huna and Rav Chista are arguing how much of this meat, of pigul or noiser, do you need to be metame the hands, where we said one set of Kazayas, one set of Kabetza. So fine. Lamanda Masti Kazayas to Lesbe Kazayas. We could say that the scenario in the next Mishnah, according to the opinion that you only that you need a kazayas to be metame the hands, then we're talking about, let's say, the part that went out of Yerushalayim, there's less of the kazayas of meat over there, so therefore it's not enough to be metame the hands. Or manda masni kabetza, and the opinion that said you need a kabetza, same thing, to less of a kabetza, we'd be talking about where there's no kabetza in it. So in other words, you're right. Maybe in fact, if there was a kazayas or a kabetza that went out, then maybe in fact that would be matame the rest of the meat on the bone and the rest of the meat that it's touching, and therefore you'd have a problem. Only because the part that was pushed outside the city wall of Yerushalayim is less than a kazayas or less than a kabetza respectively. Therefore, we could say it's not matame the rest of the meat. So you can't prove anything one way or the other. The Braisa says, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from another Braisa. The Braisa says, Amotzi b'sar Pesach mechavura lachavura. If somebody takes out the meat of the Pesach from one group to another, later on, we're going to talk about in the Gemara, on Omud Beis, we're going to talk about where Bechalal we know that you're not allowed to do that. But right now, we're taking as a given that each Pesach has to stay within its group, and you're not allowed to take from one to the other. So, even though there's a loisese involved, as we're going to learn soon, tahor, nevertheless, the meat is tahor. Now, my lav, tahor v'osur, l'chorda we mean that on the one hand it's tahor, but it's not metame, the person, but on the other hand it is osur to eat. And the reason we would say that is the yotze mechavura lachavura ke yotze chutzlem chitzase dami, because we would assume that taking it out from one chavura to the other is the equivalent of taking it out from its mechitza. In other words, the same way, for example, as kodshe kodshe, machatas, or an osham, or whatever, if the meat of them is taken outside the azorah, they become posel. And when it comes to kodshim kalim, if they're taken out of Yerushalayim, then they become posel. Here, with the Korban Pesach, the Torah tells us that it has to be eaten in a chavura, b'vayis echad ya'achol, has to be eaten in one house, in one group. So we would say the same thing, that if it's taken out of there, it becomes also to eat. But we'd still, so we'd consider as if it went out of the area where it was supposed to be, umifsil, so we would say it's possible, ba'afilo hochi katoni tahor. Yet the Braisa is telling us that it's tahor. Alma legozri rabbanan truma. So therefore you would see that the chama not goes a truma on it. So that would answer the question that yes, pigul am noiser, am a tame a person's hand, but yotze is not. However, the Gemara says, no. Loy, that's not necessarily what it means. It could mean tahor or mutter. It could mean that it's not only tahor, but it's still allowed to be eaten. Because just because it's taken out from one chavura to another, sure, a person was over on an isur by doing that, taking it out to a different chavura, but that doesn't necessarily passel it. So then it's tahor, in other words, and it's not passel at all. You can bring it back to your original chavura and eat it over there. The same way, for example, let's say you're over on a lav by breaking a bone from the korban Pesach, but there's no question if you break a bone, then the korban is still kosher to eat. So you could say the same thing over here. You take out meat from it someplace else. You're over on a lav of lois sotzi, min abayis, min abos l'chutza, but nevertheless that meat is still kosher. The Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean, though? The next part of the Braisa continues that if a person does eat this meat that was taken out from one chavura to the other, then he's over on a loisese. So, b'shleimelam under Omer Kebetza. So I can understand, according to the opinion, again, between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, who says that you need a kabetza to become tamei, well, then we could say, the isbe kazayis for less be kabetza. So we could be talking about, the scenario is, you took out more than a kazayis, but less than a kabetza of meat. So therefore, we would say that he is over on eating it, because achila involves a kazayis, so now he's eating a kazayis of meat that was taken out beyond where it went. Nevertheless, the braisa is saying tahor, because it's not a kabetza. You need a kabetza for it to be metame the hands, if we assume that way. But if you say you only need a kazayas to be metame, then what are you going to say? Obviously, you eat less than a kazayas of it. There's no malchus. There's no lav involved. It's only chatzishir. But the same kazayas is the amount that it would become tame. So according to that, at least we should say, if we say that you need only a kazayas to be metame, and here the braisa is saying it's tahor, and yet that it's also to eat, that would show that we're not making yotze. That would show that yotze is not metame in the hands. So the Gemara says no. Ela b'yotze b'pesach lo mibayalon, like gozer abanan truma. When it comes to meat that was taken out of the korban pesach, out of where it was supposed to be, there's no question the chachamim were not gozer truma on that. My time of Bnei Chavura's reasoning, because the members of the group that are eating the Korban Pesach are Zoris, they're careful, so they will be careful to tell each other, don't take any of the meat outside of that area, of our area. So we don't have to be machmer on them with a Xera of Tumas Yadayim in order to make them do that, because they will be Zoris about it. On the other hand, Mizah Zahiri base, so therefore they're very careful. What we're arguing about is regarding other kodshim, where you don't have a chavura, you have the koyanim eat it, you have regular people eat it, as the case may be, the parts in the Azara, the parts in Yerushalayim, but there you don't have a chavura. We don't necessarily say that there's zrizim him. So now the question is, what would be the din? Do we have to be gozer on them, that it's going to be metame the hands, in order that they don't get careless and let it go out of Yerushalayim or out of the Azara, or do we not need to do that? The Gemara says teiku. So we don't know. So when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the halacha is yotze is not matame the hands. When it comes to other korbanos, we're not sure. The Rambam says, given therefore, so what we have is this is in Rambam Shlosha Prakim these days actually, that it's in that case what you have is a suffix of Tumas Yadayim, and we have a rule that suffix of Tumas Yadayim is one of the kinds of sfeikus where we're makel. So in this case, he has a suffix, whether his hands became tame, then we're makel on it, and we say his hands are not tame as a result of that, because the Gemara left it as teku. Okay. So now, umoitzi b'sav pesach mechavura lechavura minayin. How, taka, do we know that if a person takes out meat from a korban pesach from one chavura into the other, where, let's say, Rashi says they're both in the same house, how do we know that there's an issue involved? So, Netanya, because we learn in a b'raisa. The pasuk says, lo soitzi min abayis min abasa chutza. The pasuk says, don't take out of the house any of the meat. Don't take any of the meat of the korban outside of the house. Ainly element bias the bias. So from that pasuk, you would only know that it means you can't take it from one house to another. Mechavura lachavura minayin. How do we know that if you have two groups in the same house eating by different tables, then how do we know you're also not allowed to take the korban pesach from one to the other? Tamad lema chutzah. Therefore, the pasuk adds the word chutzah outside, which means chutz laachilasoi, means if it's taken outside of the area where it's being eaten. Now, Rashi brings a girsa that he had in front of him, which he doesn't like, that says ten chutza, that give a chutza, in other words, make that there should be a surrounding area. Rashi is not going to that, but the Rambam is. So the Rambam understands that if you have different groups that are eating the Korban Pesach in the same house, or rather in the same room, you have to put a mechitza between them. You have to put a mechitza around each one so that each one has a marked off area within which they're eating the Korban Pesach and outside of which they're not allowed to take it. So the Gemara says, Omer Abami, Hamoitzi b'sav pesach mechavura, in this connection, Hamoitzi b'sav pesach mechavura lechavura, if a person takes out meat of the Korban Pesach from one group to another, and we just said he's over on a lav with that, Einei chayev ad sheyaniach. He's not chayev malchus unless he actually puts it down in the other place. But if he just picks it up and carries it over there, and then carries it right back without putting it down, then he's potter, because hoitzah, sebek shabbos. Because the potter uses the word hoitzah, the potter says like soitzi min abayis, so therefore it's the same as hoitzah of shabbos. Where the pasuk says, Al yotze ish mimakoimo, and it means that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So, ma Shabbos ad da'ovad akira v'hanocha. So just like by Shabbos, as we learned throughout Masech the Shabbos, a person is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos only if he did akira, he picked it up from one place, and hanocha, he put it down in another place. Af hochinami, the same way over here, ad da'ovad akira v'hanocha, only if he does akira and hanocha, and only if he does it himself, not if one person does the akira, and the other one does the hanocha, just as we learned in Masech the Shabbos, that if one person, the first mission, and Shabbos, for example, that if the Oni takes something from outside, and then the Balabais takes it out of his hand, or vice versa, we say they're both potter, because one did the Akira and one did the Hanocha. The same way over here, we would need Akira and Hanocha in order to be Chayev. Interesting idea, by the way, that a couple of Achronim talk about an interesting point. In the Pasuk about this, the Torah says, Loisoitzi min abayis, you in the singular should not take out meat from the house where it's being eaten. The etzem loisish beru voi, but you plural should not break a bone in it. So why does it change from singular to plural? So the Torah Tmima gives a very interesting answer based on our Gemara. Now, we haven't discussed this, although the Yerushalmi discusses that, let's say, I think the Bavli mentions it someplace else, that if one person breaks a bone in the Korban Pesach, and then another person goes and breaks the same bone again, or for that matter, if two people together together, collaborate. They take the bone together. Each one puts their hands on the bone, and together they break it. Then they're both chayiv. On the other hand, with Hotzah, we're saying over here it has to be the same person is doing akedah v'hanocha. Therefore, the Torah phrases that in the singular, lois soitzi, you in the singular should not take out from the meat, because if two people did it together, they'd be potter, shnayim shasu upturim, like we learned in Shabbos. On the other hand, when it comes to breaking a bone, they're chayiv, even if two people do it together, therefore it says, ve'etzem lois sish beruvoi, you plural, shouldn't break a bone in it. Okay. So the Gemara says, mosi reb abba bar memel. So Rav Abba bar Memel says, so I have a contradiction. You're telling me that whenever the Torah tells us about taking out something, there has to be akira v'hanocha. But we have like this. We know that there are the various korbanos that have to be burnt outside the machne. You have the par and the sur of Yom Kippur. You have the par helam davar, etc., etc., where they have to be, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, they have to be taken out of the machne and burnt. So the Abraisa says, actually it's a Mishnah, how you slave them oisim b'moitus, they would be carrying them on poles. Harishonim yotzu chutz v'chaymas azara v'achronim lo yotzu. Let's say the people in front have already left the azara, and part of the animal is out there with them. V'achronim lo yotzu. The ones behind have not yet left the azara. Now the Torah tells us that the people who are carrying these things and the people who are burning them, they become tomei and their clothes become tomei, meaning that they become an avatuma and therefore their clothes are a rishon l'truma. But that only applies once they went out. So therefore, so it says that so as soon as they leave. So as soon as they leave the Azara, then right away they and their clothes become tamei. So therefore, so the ones who already went out, they and their clothes are tamei. The ones who didn't go out yet, who are still inside the Azara, so v'achronim lo yotzu, harishonim matamim begodim. The ones in front, they and their clothes are tamei. V'achronim ein matamim begodim. The ones behind, their clothes are not yet tamei because they haven't yet left the Azara. Now the problem with that is that they are also, the Pasuk uses the word Hotzah, Yotzi Omichutz Lamachne. So therefore, so V'holoi Noch. Now according to Rav Ami's logic, they should only be Metamed Godim, only if they put it down. Because again, it's Hotzah, so you need Akira V'Hanocha. But there was no Hanocha yet. They're walking the whole time. So therefore, so how are they and their clothes Tommy? So the answer is Hu Moisiv Lava Hu Mefarek La. So Rav Abba bar Memel asked the question. He also gave the answer. B'nigrorin, we're talking about where they're dragging the body of the korban along the ground. So therefore, it is noch. It's considered like it's resting on the ground the whole time. Tosfos says it doesn't literally have to be that it's dragging on the ground. It just means they're holding it within three tefachim of the ground, because that's as we learned in Masechta Shabbos that when something is within three tefachim of the ground, then we apply lavud and we say it's considered as if it was lying on the ground. Okay. Tosfos actually points out another interesting point. We learned in Masechta Shabbos, you had a case where you carry something partly into Rosh Hashanah and the rest of it is still in Rosh Hashanah. We said he's potter. So over here, how are the people in front tomei yet? If the people behind are also carrying it and they're still inside. And the answer is, Tosfos says, that applies only to like a basket or something like that, where there's an inside for it. So therefore, so you're able to pull the basket and then bring it all back in. Over here, you're talking about they're carrying it on poles, so it's not really the same kind of thing. They can't easily pull it back to themselves just because they're carrying it on poles. But that's the bottom line, is you do need Hotzah like for Shabbos, so therefore when it comes to the Korban Pesach, taking it out of the Chavura is a lav. However, that lav kicks in, and the person is Chayv Malkus only if he put it down over there. Okay. The Mishnah says, as we've quoted this Mishnah a couple of times already, Eva Shiyotze Mekzosa, if a limb of the Korban Pesach went out of where it was supposed to, so out of Yerushalayim, or out of Yerushalayim, according to everybody, according to the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos writes that also if it was taken out of the house where you eating it, because even though we said before, if it was only taken out of the Chavura, maybe it's still, so we said, even if it was taken out of the Chavura, we said already a person is over on a lav eating it. So therefore, so once it was taken out of that area, so then it becomes possible, and a person is over on a lava of eating it. So chosach ad shemagia la'etzem, so you cut through the flesh until you reach the bone. because you have to separate the flesh, you have to separate the meat that's on the outside, which became kosel, from the meat that's on the inside, that remained inside the chavura or whatever, which remains kosher. The koilef ad shemagil aperek, then you peel off the meat until you reach the bone. Because again, you can't cut the bone. The chosech, and then you cut it up the joint, and then you're not over on breaking a bone. Again, as we talked about before, maybe according to Rebbe, you would be, maybe according to one of the eight explanations of Rebbe before, maybe you would be able to cut it off over there, because after all, this aver is possible. That was according to the papa's answer. We would say that maybe Rebbe would allow you to cut it off directly. And in fact, we said Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshur Rabbi Yechon ben Breika had said, Yutaka could. We also had in the Machlokas of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, we said if the bone doesn't have a kezias of marrow inside it, then you would taka be able to just peel off some of the meat on the outside until you don't have kezias in that area where you're cutting, and then you'd be able to cut it. But so our Mishnah is talking about either according to the Chachamim and not according to Rebbe, or we said over there that maybe even Rebbe would agree that you are chayiv in that case. And according to Rish Lakish, we would have to say that the case is either that the bone over here contains a kezias of marrow, we would have to say that the bone over here contains a kezias of marrow. Okay. Or Mokdashin, now on the other hand, when it comes to other kodshim, again, you do have an issue of yotze if they're taken out of the Azara or Yerushalayim, respectively, depending whether they're kodshim kodshim or kodshim kalim. So when it comes to other korbanos, kotzitz bekoifetz, there you can just chop off the bone that at the point where it went out using a cleaver. She'ein by mishum shveras atzim, because other korbanos, you don't have an issue of cutting the bones. Okay. Now, what are we define? So that part of the Mishnah we're not really going to discuss in the Gemara because we already discussed it before. But now the Mishnah continues. How do we define inside and outside? What's the cutoff point? So min ha'agaf v'lefnim kelefnim. From the agaf and inside is considered like inside. So Rashi describes like this. You have a door inside a doorway. You have, for example, the door on the inside is flush with the wall. Then you have, there's the thickness of the doorway. At some point in the thickness of the doorway, you have a frame or a doorstop or whatever, which prevents the door from swinging any further in that direction. Like you have on door frames nowadays, you have those pieces over there that are in the middle of the door, in the middle of the door frame that prevent the door from going any further in that direction. That's called the agaf. So therefore, anything further in from that is considered kilifnim, is considered like the inside. So in other words, actually, to be exact, Rashi explains then, the agaf means the entire area of the door itself. So from the inner edge of the door, inward is considered kilifnim. And therefore you'd be able to eat the korban over there. Mina agaf v'lachutz k'lachutz. Anything from the agaf and further out is considered like the outside. Now, what about the agaf itself? What about the thickness of the doorway itself, from where the door begins until from the inner edge of the door until the point, until this agaf, until this thing that prevents it from swinging that way? That the Mishnah hasn't clarified. That we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So the point is, therefore, but beyond the agaf is definitely outside. The agaf itself we're going to see in the Gemara. Hachalonis, now when it comes to the windows in the walls of Yerushalayim, but ovi achoma and the thickness of the wall on the top, kilifnim, those are considered all like the inside of Yerushalayim. So in other words, if you're sitting next to the window and you remember the walls of Yerushalayim, even nowadays, are quite thick. The ones in olden times also were. So if you have, let's say you're sitting next to the window and a piece of the Korban Pesach that you're eating sticks over into the thickness of the wall, into the window, over the thickness of the wall, that's fine, as long as it doesn't actually go outside the window, beyond the outer edge of the wall. So Rashi points out then, so we're saying by the gates you have one rule, you have this rule about the agaf, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara. On the other hand, with the windows and the top of the wall, we're saying not. The Gemara is going to explain the reason why is because the gates, the Chachamim didn't want to be Mekadesh, the gates of Yerushalayim completely, because Mitzrayim want to be able to use them to shelter from the sun or from the rain, from the heat or from the rain. So there, and if they made them Kaddish, they wouldn't be allowed to. As opposed to the windows and the tops of the wall, you don't have need to do that. So therefore, they were Makadish the whole thickness of them. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, v'chein l'tfila. The same rule about the agaf being the cutoff point is also true as far as davening. meaning Rashi says a person who's standing anywhere from the agaf inward is considered part of the minyan. A person who's standing outside of that is not counted towards the minyan. That's how Rashi learns. And the Gemara says, "Pliga de Rabbi Shurban Levi." On the other hand, this statement argues with Rabbi Shurban Levi. De Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, "Afilu mechitza shel barzel enim afseches ben Yisrael aviyem Hashem shemayim." Even an iron wall can't separate the Jewish people from Hashem, because, as Rashi says, everything is known to Hashem. Akol golav yadur lefanav, ve'ein stima lefanav. There's nothing that closes up in front of Hashem. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shurban Levi, it would come out that they can count for the minyan, even if they're outside the agaf. Tosfos says that's not what we're talking about, because we know the halacha is like Rabbi Shurban Levi. On the other hand, the fact is, we know if there's mechitza between members of the minyan, then it does prevent them from counting together for a minyan. We learned about an Erevin, for example. So Tosfos says no. What it means is, let's say you have a minyan inside the shul, then let's say you have somebody walking by outside, and listening, and he wants to answer to Kedusha or Oman Yehesh Meir Abba. So Rabbi Yehuda, Oman Rav, would be saying, if he's standing outside the Agaf, then he can't do that. Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi would say that no, a Mechitza Shel Barzel is not separating. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings more like Rashi's explanation. So it brings over there, if you have some members of the minyan that are standing outside the door or standing on the threshold, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara, then they're not counted towards the minyan. However, what it continues in Shulchan Aruch is if some people inside see them, then they are. So this is very negaya nowadays. You often have a minyan in some places, like, for example, sometimes in Empire Shtibel, for example, you have a minyan where some people are in the Cheder Rishon and some are in the Cheder Sheni, and the door is open between them. As long as some of them can see some of the others, then they're all mitzvah for the minyan. But if not, then they need to be inside of the agaf, as we're saying over here. Okay, so the Gemara says Hogufa Kasha. You seem to have a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Amrit mina agaf v'lefnim k'lefnim. You're saying anything from the agaf inward is considered like the inside, implying ho agaf asme k'lachut. So the thickness of the agaf itself sounds like is part of the outside already. And therefore, if the Korban Pesach goes beyond that point, beyond the beginning of the agaf, then it's going to be possible. Ema sefer. But then continue the next part of the Mishnah. It says, "Mina agaf v'lachutz k'lachutz." From the agaf outward is considered like the outside. Ho agaf atzmei k'lefnim. So you see that the agaf itself is considered like the inside. So what is it? The answer is like kasha kan b'shari azora kan b'shari Yerushalayim. It depends. When we're talking about the gates of the azora, the thickness of those gates, the full thickness of those gates, is made to be kodesh, with the exception of Shaar Nikoner that we're going to talk about soon. So therefore, so with the gates of the Azara, the agaf counts, the threshold, counts as part of the inside, and therefore you could still eat kodshim over there. Kan b'shari Yerushalayim, as opposed to when the Mishnah implies that the agaf is not considered part of the inside, that's talking about the gates of Yerushalayim. There, from the agaf, there the thickness of the agaf itself, the thickness of the threshold itself, is considered to be outside. The armor of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, whose name Malan Iskadru Shari Yishlaim, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak explains, why were the Chachamim not Makadish the gates of Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim itself, there's a whole procedure when Yerushalayim was built, or when it was rebuilt, or when it was enlarged, that a whole procedure that the Tosfos brings from Gemara and Shavuos, that they would have a procession around Yerushalayim, around the Azara, with parts of certain korbanos, bread from a toda, or shiorei menachos, or whatever, and they would walk around the whole area that's going to be Kodesh, and therefore they would decide what is going to be included and what is not. So why did the Chachamim not decide to be Mekadesh the inside of the gates of Yerushalayim? The reason is, because Mitzoroyim that way can use the thickness of the gates and shelter in them in the summer. They can shelter in them from the sun. In the rainy season, in the winter, they can shelter in them from the rain. If the gates had the full Kedusha of Yerushalayim, they wouldn't be allowed to, because we've learned previously on Daf Samach Zayin, Samach Ches, that Mitzoroyim have to stay out of the three Machnas, including the whole city of Yerushalayim. So like this, they wouldn't be able to shelter under the gates So instead, the Chachamim made that the thickness of the walls of those points in the gates is not Kaddish. That way, the Metzorayim can stand over there. But other than that, the thickness of the gates generally is included. Which you have, by the way, when it comes to a minyan, you have an interesting thing where the Magen Avraham and the Alter Rebbe argue about the implication of that as far as being mitzvah people for a minyan. So the Magen Avraham says in that case, the implication is usually the inside, usually the agaf, usually the threshold is considered part of the inside. Only in this one case are we saying that not because of the mitzvah. Therefore, that means that if you have some members of the minyan are standing on the agaf, then it would be fine. The Alter Rebbe disagrees and says that no, if they're standing on the agaf itself, then they don't count. They have to be standing closer in than the inner edge of the door. Or again, we're saying they have to be able to see each other. Okay. And v'amar of Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak v'nei mala niskad shashar nikaner. Why also among the gates of the Azara? Why were they not mekadesh the inside of shar nikaner? The reason is because the Mitzrayim stand over there when they're bringing their korbanos, and they have to stick their thumbs and also their thumbs and their big toes and also their ear. They have to stick it in order to have the blood and the oil applied to it. The thing is like this: before the Mitzrayim brings his korbanos, he's a mechusar kapara. He's allowed to go as far as the Ezras Noshim, but no further. On the other hand, he has to bring his korbanos, and the Torah tells us that the blood of his osham and the oil that he brought with his korbanos, that some of it has to be applied to his earlobe and his big thumb and his thumb and his big toe of his right earlobe, his right thumb and his right big toe. So you have a machloikus in some places in Shas, whether if a Tomei partially enters the Azara, whether he's chayev for it or not, yesh omim that not, bia b'mitzas loishme bia. So in that case, it's very easy. He can stick in his thumb and so forth, and there's no issue in it because it's only his thumb, it's not his whole body. If we say that usually a person is chayev for that, then fine. He exeris hakosu that he has to do it because he has to become tahor. The point is, though, that the blood and the oil have to be applied lifnei Hashem, which means in the Azara, so therefore the only way to do that is to be Makadish, the thickness, is to not be Makadish, the thickness of the gateway, otherwise he wouldn't be able to stand in it, and otherwise he wouldn't be able to stick his ear and thumb and toe into the Azara. Tosfos, actually, there's a Tosfos in Yevamos that talks about a couple of possibilities of this. So why don't we say then, okay, so let's be Makadish the thickness of that gateway, just like all the other gateways of the Azara. And we'll say then he should stand outside of that gateway and stick his thumb and so forth into the thickness of the gateway. And the Kohen can apply the blood and the oil over there. Tosfos gives over there two answers. One is that wouldn't work because for it to be lifnei Hashem, it has to be within the rectangle of the Azara. Even if we said that the thickness of the gateway, even if we said we were going to be Makadish it with the Kedusha of the Azara, still to do it over there wouldn't be considered lifnei Hashem, because it's not within the actual rectangle of the Azara. Therefore, that wouldn't work. The other answer is, Tosva says, maybe it would work, but again, the same way as we said we want to leave the gates of Yerushalayim, the thickness of the gateways of Yerushalayim not Kaddish, in order that the Mitzrayim can shelter over there. The same way over here. What if it happens to be on the day the Mitzvah is bringing his korbanos? It's raining. Do we want to make the poor guy stand outside in the rain? And no. So therefore, we're not Makadish the gateway. That way, he can stand inside the gateway of Shaar Nikanor and be protected from the rain and be able to stick out his thumb and so forth into the Azara. Okay, so the bottom line is, in other words, that normally when it comes to most gates of the Azara, then the thickness of the gateway itself is considered like the inside. So therefore we apply what the Mishnah said, min ha'agaf v'lachutz k'lachutz. Only beyond the agaf is considered the outside, but the agaf itself is considered part of the inside. On the other hand, when it comes to Shaar Nikanor and when it comes to all the gates of the wall of Yerushalayim, then we say that the agaf itself is considered like part of the outside, and therefore, if a person is sitting next to there and allows part of the Korban Pesach to stick out over the agaf, then that part will be possible. Okay.